Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a Dominican friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus, and I'm joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Stephen Alcott. Let us start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we're going to talk about how it is we come to know God. That this is a question many people have, is how do I know God? How do I know what God wants for me in my life? How do I know who God is? How do I form a friendship with God? How do I know what he wants to tell me, his own will for me in my life? And people could, it can be difficult. If you go, say, to a bookstore and you look in the religion section, you will find all sorts of things about who God is from all sorts of different perspectives from around the world. Some of them outright crazy. You'll find all sorts of contradictory things. So how can we know who God is? Well, fortunately, God has revealed himself to us. That is what we call revelation, where God has told us who he is, and he's given us sure knowledge that we can know by faith of who God is. So we're going to talk about this revelation. How is it that God has spoken to us, and how do we come to know God through that revelation? So what are the main parts of revelation?
When I think of revelation, you know, I think of, you know, how can I really get in touch with God? And sometimes I wish that he would kind of drop a little golden envelope out of the sky, mm-hmm. you know, and said, okay, Father Stephen, this is what I want you to do. You know, this is the answer to all your questions. You know, these are the things you're worried about. You know, just set your mind at ease. This is exactly what I want, you know, but it often doesn't happen that way. And so many people that I talk to, you know, they want to know what, you know, a more direct way that, that God would speak to them. But what I encourage them is to look at, you know, first, what has God told us through the scriptures and, mm-hmm. and through the tradition of the church? You know, he might say other things to you more directly, but it's always going to be in harmony mm-hmm. with those two streams, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely the starting place in knowing God, is that scripture and tradition. And the scripture itself, all the parts of scripture, they're accounts of somebody's encounter with God, whether in the Old Testament with Abraham and the patriarchs or the prophets, or the New Testament with the apostles. It's somebody who had a very powerful and direct encounter with God, and it was so important that it was recorded for us in words. And those words are themselves inspired, meaning that by reading those accounts, that the Holy Spirit comes to us as well, and we can encounter God in the ways that those people encountered him in scripture. That is, it's like those Eastern icons, those paintings, where it's believed that when gazing on them, you're gazing into divine realities. That when we read scripture, we're looking not just at words, but we're gazing into divine realities to know God. And if we listen for the Holy Spirit there, we can hear his voice in our lives. Now, that often takes prayer and diligence. I remember it can be hard when we're dealing with a question in our lives right now. What should I do? You know, how do I hear God's voice? But by being rooted in scripture, you learn to hear, discern that voice. I used to pray when I was discerning whether I should become a Dominican or not. I would pray, God, please be obvious. I'm not subtle.
Now, I will say that I have a little bit of a reservation here, and that is this, that I think revelation is much bigger than just even the scriptures.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it first of all is what the truth that God wishes to communicate to us in his world. And some of that self-revelation comes even in natural ways. You know, I mean, as I've said on another show, you know, I do think that the model in the scripture of the wise men seeking God is a good one, that they scan the stars, they look at the natural universe first, they find things that point them in the right direction, but they have to come to Jerusalem to the scriptures eventually if they're going to find Christ in the arms of his mother, if they're going to find the God made flesh for us. But we do have this other problem that you actually, I mean, which scriptures are we talking about? No, for instance, I mean, there's the Quran, there's the Hindu Vedas, there's even different divisions of the scriptures.
The one that came from God, the Catholic Bible.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. What I'm saying is, it seems to me, growing up in a world where we have this cacophony of voices, you know, we need to look for for me, for instance, what has always been is that there has been a consonance between what I have discovered on the natural level and in study and that which Holy Church has taught me. I mean, I found it in some ways in the living community who teaches out of that one book, which is the scripture.
Well, I think that the core of Revelation, right, it's not the Bible, it's Jesus Christ.
Right.
The fullness of the word that God speaks to us is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the scriptures are important in that they put us in contact with Jesus Christ. It gives us his life and his words and his deeds while he was here on earth and his salvation for us. So it's not the scriptures itself, but it's entering into the scriptures to encounter Jesus Christ. And that's where we find God.
The living word. I mean, to open the sacred page is to touch the mind of the living God, to my mind. You know? And this, it's not just about reading what happened long ago, far away, it was marvelous. It's also to open yourself up to the encounter. And I do think that one of the things that mark an authentic approach to Revelation is that you take it as God trying to communicate with you. And that this is a living, this is an engagement. It's not just a dry study. It is about an engagement, about meaning, about purpose, about the shape of my life in this world and before, and whatever duties I have towards this Creator, this one who has spoken to me through Jesus Christ. So, I mean, it's very powerful stuff.
Yeah, and as priests and as Dominicans especially, I mean, we're always thinking about preaching. You know, we always have to do that. And so there's a natural, very practical way in which we know that the Word engages us because we have to be thinking, how does God want to engage me and how does God want to engage the people that I'm going to preach to in my homily at Mass about, you know, how he's going to help them, assist them, support them, guide them in their life today, you know, based on where they are and what he's saying and what the church has given us in the lectionary.
And more than the lectionary, this word who has become man for us in Jesus Christ, the second person of Blessed Trinity, has been coming into the world since the beginning. Now, this is out of St. John's Gospel. But, I mean, in many and varied ways, God has spoken, as Hebrews says, to our ancestors, and now in the present age, he has spoken to us through the Son, and as I said, the Scripture are one door, but the liturgy is another. In one sense, you know, Mass is a place where I come face to face with the living Christ in his sacrament and the mystery of what he has accomplished for me, and I'm joined to it. And I do think, I mean, Revelation comes to us through the life of the Church this way as well.
And that revelation is more than just the actual words of scriptures. It's everything handed on by Jesus to the apostles. And so part of that is a liturgy. Like, for instance, throughout the New Testament, you see the importance of the Lord's Supper and that it has to be celebrated. You see in the road to Emmaus, you see it throughout the Paul and the talk about the Last Supper. And so say you're an early Christian and you say, okay, well, scripture says I really need to do this thing like the Lord's Supper. I need to have something like that. But what in the world do I do? Do I just make something up? Scripture doesn't give clear instructions about how you hold this ritual. But you see in the writings of Justin Martyr in the 150s, so really close to the apostles, within probably the living memory of some people who were in his time that were trained by the apostles. And he tells what the Mass looks like. There's a liturgy of the word. There's a liturgy of the Eucharist. We do this and this. He's writing to defend it to pagan persecutors of the church. And he's not writing about this like they just made up the Mass in his time, but it's something that every Christian would know because they're taking part in it. Well, where did that come from? Well, that came from the teachings of the apostles handed on to the church that Christ founded, that gives context to the scriptures. Like, how do we do this? How do we live out what Jesus said here? And so you have that wider sense of tradition that is also revelation of who Jesus is, that comes to them in the liturgy and the writings of the fathers, through the bishops, the successors of the apostles. All of this comes to bring us to know who Jesus Christ is.
And this is so much richer. You know, through natural theology, you come to know that God exists, that he's immanent, that he's transcendent, and so forth. But here I learn that God loves me, that God wishes to be engaged with me, that God wishes to be my companion moment to moment in my life. It transforms everything that you do once you open your heart to it.
Yeah, I like that. I love the image that you mentioned, Father Stephen Dominic, about the magi, the wise men, how there's things that can lead us to Christ, like the stars, but then there's encountering Christ himself. And I hadn't thought about this before. You might often think as a Catholic about encountering Christ in the scriptures. That's what we do when we pray with the scriptures. But I hadn't thought, to be honest, about encountering Christ in the tradition. Sometimes I think of the tradition as like, well, that's kind of summarized in the catechism. You know, that's what the church believes, what the church has distinguished, you know, truth from error that's cropped up, you know, after the time of the apostles. But, you know, but you could also say that we encounter Christ in tradition, in the sense of the liturgy, which is part of the tradition, you know, or even encountering Christ in the saints, you know, in what we've read about.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a Dominican friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Stephen Alcott. And we've been talking about revelation. We've been specifically talking about tradition. And one way I like to look at this tradition, especially of reading the scripture, that there's, you see in the catechism, that's tagged to scripture, and there's a certain Catholic way of understanding the scripture. And one way is that now Christians have been reading the scriptures for 2,000 years. Well, if you think of your favorite book or movie, and you've read it over and over, it really connects with you, that book, your favorite, whatever your favorite novel is. And as you continue to read it again and again, you see new depths to it, new links, new symbols you might have missed in your first few readings. Well, now we have 2,000 years of deep meditative reading on the scriptures, and to bring everything was there at the beginning with Jesus Christ, but Jesus hasn't changed. We have, as we see more deeply into it. And this is the growing tradition of the church, as we see more and more deeply into the truths that have always been present to us. And this is expressed in creeds to help us to read the scriptures as people have debated their insights over the millennia.
I remember an intense feeling of community once. I was looking at the Book of Kells in Trinity College, Dublin, and I opened the page. They keep changing the page to keep the thing fresh. But I looked at it, and it's a gospel book, of course, and it had the story of Christ driving the legion into the pigs, you know, and going over. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading this, and all of a sudden, what hit me was this is from St. Comkell's Monastery. This is Jerome's translation. It is connected all this. It's the apostles' remembrance of what Jesus accomplished. And in one sense, all of them were there with me in the semi-darkness as I'm looking at this page, mm-hmm. at this relic of Christian, which is connected to my own ethnic tradition and my religious faith. And then, of course, and Christ himself is there. I mean, I remember being an intense experience of being connected to not just a literary tradition, but to a living community of hearts spread over the ages, connected, reading the same book, the same sacred syllables, generation after generation after generation.
Mm. Yeah, to be really connected to just not just the people that happen to be walking around today, you know, mm-hmm. and there are very many of them, right. but to be connected to all of the people that have prayed and followed Christ and encountered him at the same time.
And who have delivered to me this faith, this revelation.
And it's good to remember that we think of the church, we think of the people alive now, but that's not it. there's a church militant here on earth, but there's also the church in heaven and in purgatory, that the whole tradition of Christians from the apostles to us are united in the body of Christ. And their work and the generations before us have handed on the saving truths of who Jesus is to us today. And we're linked to all of that.
Mm-hmm. One phrase that Pope Benedict said that I really love, he pointed out that for someone to kind of be evangelized or to really receive the revelation of God, it's not just a transmission of information. You know, if it was that easy in this, you know, world of like, you know, the information age and, you know, on all the media, everyone would be evangelized, you know. But to be evangelized, to really receive the revelation of God, is to learn an art of living, you know, the art of living as, or Christian living, following Christ. And to me, you know, sacred scripture is part of that. You know, sacred scripture teaches us how to follow Christ. We encounter Christ, but in a way, we really need a lot more help, you know, in the tradition of the church, you know, as you were saying, Father Boniface, about the liturgy of the Eucharist. You know, if we just had to rely on scripture alone, we would only know the barest facts about how to celebrate the Lord's Supper, you know, but we have 2,000 years of Christianity, you know, and how to celebrate the liturgy, how to pray, how to be united with Christ, you know, for example, in the Mass, where heaven meets earth and earth shares in the worship of heaven, you know, that the art of living comes especially to us through those people that have handed down, you know, our faith to us.
Christ didn't write a book. He founded a church, and a church is a community. The only point that I know of where it's recorded that Christ wrote anything was when he wrote in the sand with the woman caught in adultery. But none of the New Testament is written directly by Jesus. What he did was set up apostles to hand on their encounter with Christ to us today. And it's that community of a church. And like any community, it has traditions. But unique to the church is that is guided by the Holy Spirit. Just as the Holy Spirit was guided scripture, so too he guides the traditions of the church founded by Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a book by itself could spawn a variety of interpretations. But the book in the hands of the living community, which has a unitary teaching, has a teaching authority, this keeps the faith and the whole and the revelation pure.
I remember my very first class in law school, the professor told us, he said, to be a good lawyer, you have to be able to read any sentence and come up with 3 plausible alternative interpretations to what it means. That we can read a text in many ways. In fact, within the first generation of Protestants, they were killing each other over what scripture actually meant. It turns out that it's not so clear a lot of times, and that's why we have this living tradition of what does this text mean? How do we read it? How do we appropriate and live what it's telling us? That you need that fullness of the generations that went before and have followed the Holy Spirit in their lives.
Yeah, you know what I mentioned before, the golden envelope. When I was discerning my vocation, I really wanted God to just give me that answer. You know, I wanted that information. You know, and that's so much how we kind of treat information these days. You know, you want a question, you know, you have a specific question, you Google it, you know, you want to as quickly as possible find the information.
An app for God's will.
An app, yeah. But in a sense, the way that God has given us his revelation, you know, he makes it not so simple, but in a way better. You know, it's so instead of saying, I just want this answer, this specific question answered right now, right here, he says, okay, I'm going to teach you the art of living. If you learn to live, to follow me, you know, to follow the Beatitudes, to follow the great commandments, you know, to understand my word, you know, if you learn to pray, if you learn to the principles of how to flourish in virtue and in your life, then you won't need that golden envelope so much. You know, you'll kind of understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. It'll become more like second nature. So then instead of just getting little packets of information like you do, you know, on the internet, you have an art of living that really helps you to sort of think think like, instead of just knowing what do I do right here now, you can think like Christ. You can have the mind of Christ by embracing and immersing yourself in what God has revealed to us.
When you talk about the information packets, I often think that, you know, that kind of desire we all have to have that kind of relationship with God where he tells us precisely what to do so we can manage. It's what it's about is managing our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what he's going to let us do. You know, that part of the revelation of this is a God who asks us to join him, to engage with him. In the Hebrew scriptures, we have like 613 commandments, but there is actually no word for obey.
Hmm.
Okay, when the King James was being done, it was they had to put the use word hearken. But obedire is what I think we're talking about. It's to hear with the heart, to join God's program, not to have a program for God or a program for life with God ourselves, but to find what the Lord is summoning us to. And that's a kind of that's connected to revelation. This is something we work out in fear and trembling before him. But if we don't have that pure voice, if we don't have that clear voice from revelation to guide us, there's no way we're going to be able to live in that the kind of radical humility to the word that is necessary if we're going to have an authentic relationship with the living God.
Yeah, God calls us not for him to have a part in our lives, but for us to have a part in his life, meaning that it's not that it's just one more thing we do. Like, okay, I spend X minutes of prayer. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, I go to mass. Okay, I've checked off my God stuff, so I'm good to go. The rest mm-hmm. is mine. No, we're supposed to be transformed by his grace. Mm-hmm. All of us purified by the divine fire are made true children of God entirely, so that we're entirely in heaven, not 5 minutes in the morning of prayer, and then we go back.
Yeah, but in that made me think of the passage in the gospel about the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, you know, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, and Jesus says, well, you know, have you kept the commandments? And you can kind of imagine him saying, yeah, this is the kind of thing I want. You know, yeah. Just tell me what specifically I need to do to get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he says, yes, I've understood all things. But then he says something unexpected. He says, well, if you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have, you know, and then come and follow me. And it's like, whoa, that's not what I was like. I wanted you to give me like one more commandment or mm-hmm. three specific prayers yeah. or just the specific thing that you give me. And then I get what I want, which is yeah. eternal life. But he says like, no, you have to follow me. You have to follow my footsteps. You have to be like me. And that's not just a piece of information. That's a relationship.
And that's because of the dynamic of love. It's God wants to give all of himself to us in love. And to do that, for us to say yes to that, is to give all of ourselves to him in love. And so it's not a part of our lives, but it's giving all of our lives to him. And ultimately, our lives as creature, we're from dust, and to dust we will return. He's the eternal living God. I mean, this is a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Even if it involves walking over bloody cobblestones on the Via Dolorosa mm-hmm. and a criminal, and the tasting of your own share of the cross, but there's a resurrection after.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, Christ. You know, Christ makes saints. I tell people, you know, especially when I'm hearing confessions, people get really frustrated, you know, because, you know, they kind of want to know, well, what can I do to stop doing this sin, or what can I do to be better, or just, I want this one thing or formula, you know, and I said, well, look at how Jesus makes people holy. You know, he does it with pretty much two words, you know, follow me. You know, that's what he says to the fishermen of Galilee. You know, if they just keep obeying those two words, now that is in a sense, that's just a very simple two-word formula, but in another sense, that's a lifetime.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, and I think scripture and tradition tell us that it's, you can't just have this transactional type of relationship with God. It's you just have to keep following him and trust that he's going to get you there.
Because where I am, there will my servant be.
Because mm-hmm. his grace will transform us. The Beatitudes, the goal of what we should be, are not a question of doing X, Y, and Z. It's being a kind of person, being the kind of person ready to live in heaven, a true adopted child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a Dominican friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I've been joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Stephen Alcott. Let's end in our normal prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.